what's the quarterback situation?
Yeah.
To be determined. you know, we'll see how the week of practice goes, and decision on the quarterback. When the time's right, we'll make an announcement. It might be later this afternoon. It might be on Sunday morning. You know, it really doesn't change our objectives or our criteria. And but there's nothing we can do to rush it. There's nothing we can do to slow down what happens on Sunday or what's coming on Sunday. So we just have to take it as it is, and know that if we get Matt out there, that's a good situation for us. If Matt can't go, we have a good backup in Sean Hill that'll be ready to play.
How's Tony Scheffler doing for you?
Tony's played really well for us. He's been very productive. He's not a lot of catches this year, but his catches have been big, a lot of first downs and touchdowns and things like that. Missed some time with a concussion, and that sort of, almost say, derailed him. It slowed him down just a little bit. But he's a very important part about what we want to do on offense. He's sort of a hybrid wide receiver / tight end. A lot of teams treat him differently than another tight end. They'll go to nickel when he comes in the game, which helps us with other matchups. He's tall. He's a really good receiver down the field as well as short. And he's an effective blocker. You know, he's not a traditional 270-pound tight end, but blocks very well on the move, and a big part about what we want to do offensively.
You didn't say anything about his touchdown dances. He's become much more expressive since he joined your team.
Yeah, he's got some bad influences around here, particularly Nate Burleson, when it comes to touchdown dances. And here's the thing. When you score, you know, you can't do those unless you score, and he scored. It doesn't matter how ugly they are. When you're scoring 7 points, you're pretty happy about them.
Every time I turn on the TV, someone's talking about how Sue's getting a reputation as a dirty player. I assume you disagree, number one. But two, I mean, he's a fabulous player, a dominant player. Doesn't it? It's got to irritate you that that's what people are talking about with him, and not as much about how great a player he is.
Yeah, honestly, it's not even on my radar. As coaches, we have to coach what we think is the best. We can't be worried about what the fans or people in the media think. And as a player, you have to play that way. You can't be worried about what the fans and the media think. And, you know, Dominican is a very, very strong, very, very aggressive player that gets a lot of attention. And he gets attention from offenses, he gets attention from the fans, he gets attention from media outlets. If he does something, it's noteworthy and it's in the news. And I think that scrutiny goes a long way in this. But Dominican is a very, very hard worker. He's a very committed teammate. He's a good guy's pleasure to have in the building. He plays hard on Sunday. And the last thing he wants to do is do something that puts a team in jeopardy. I mean, last week he got a face mask on a sack. I mean, that's not intentional. He's trying to beat a 300-pound offensive lineman. Quarterback ducks up and ends up with a face mask, and we get a flag. It's not a dirty play. There's a line. I mean, particularly when you're a defensive lineman and you're trying to sack a quarterback, and you know, you're probably the most successful guy in the league if you can get one a game. You know, if you play baseball and you're an all-star if you succeed one out of every three times, at the plate. You know, you're an all-pro defensive lineman if you succeed one out of every 40 times and rushing the quarterback. I mean, it puts it a little bit in perspective. And to do that, you've got to combat all kinds of things, running back chips, center slide, 300-pound offensive linemen, mobile quarterbacks, all of those things. And, there's going to be times where you're half a second late or, an official calls a flag. But you can't let that slow you down, because if you do, it changes the way you play. But, we feel very strongly about Ndamukong. We think he's a very good representative of our team. And we're proud to have him on the field on Sunday.
Jim, what do you remember your first impression of him when he was coming into that draft?
You know, I think the first time I ever really watched him was the game they played against University of Texas. And he was, you know, he was a dominating player. He was obviously the best player on that field. And I hadn't looked at it. I don't watch a whole lot of college football, but I saw that game on TV. And I'd heard his name before, and I'd heard, you know, maybe some buzz amongst the scouts and things like that talking about him, but that was really the first time I remember seeing it. And, you know, it didn't take an NFL head coach or scout or, you know, anybody else to see that he was going to be a really good player and that he was the most dominating player in that game.
How could the Broncos losing Wilson McGahee, at least for this week, affect their offense from what you've seen? In the way you guys maybe play him?
I'll leave that up to Coach Fox, how it's going to affect their offense. I know that he's been a good player over the course of his career in the NFL, you know, at Buffalo, at Baltimore, and now at Denver. He's a strong runner. He's an instinctive runner. He's a good blocker, particularly in the pass game. Does a lot of things that go unnoticed. You know, so anytime, you know, you're without a player like that, there's going to be an adjustment, but you know, they have other good players. Knowshon Moreno was hurt early in the season. Now he's just coming back. And Lance Ball is a good back when you give him the ball. So, you know, and Tebow runs the ball a bunch. I'm sure they're not going to run out of people to hand the football to.
Coach, what's the key to your turnaround the past couple of years? Broncos are sort of staring down that alley right now.
Well, I don't know if we even put it that way. I don't know that there's been a key because, you know, We really haven't done anything yet. I mean, you said a turnaround. Last year we won 6 games, so we won our last 4. We really don't, I mean, we won't take a whole lot of pride in that. This year we got off to a good start, and we're 5-2, but we still have a long way to go. I think that, you know, we've done a good job adding to the roster. We've added to the roster with guys that fit exactly the profile that we're looking for in a player. I think we're in a good position because our best players are also our hardest working players. It makes it easy for a coach's message to get through to the team. I think we have a good mix of young players and veteran players, but we're still a work in progress. This is a hard working team, you know, and like anything, you know, we'll wait until the end of the season before we judge what happened over the course of the season. We're just, you know, sort of too busy just working and trying to come out with a win this week.
Coach, were you amazed to watch tape on the Broncos and see how they struggled for 55 minutes but turned it around, and comment about Tebow in terms of that?
Well, you know, we had one like that at Dallas. We didn't look so hot for about 3.5 quarters or 3 quarters, I guess that would be. And, you know, we were down 24 late in the third quarter. We were able to come back and win it. Last year when we were down in Miami, we were down 10 with 4 minutes to play, came back and won by 7. So, you know, the NFL is not always about how you begin. You got to be resilient in this league. There's going to be a lot of things that don't go your way. Teams that let those things snowball and accumulate are the teams that don't succeed long term. Teams that find a way to be competitive, stay in the game, and then make the plays when they count. I mean, I sort of look at it this way. It's not so much what happened, you know, the last 3 minutes and scoring 15 points and then winning in overtime. The fact that they were able to keep it within 2 scores, you know, that said a lot. You know, it wasn't going well for the Broncos, but nobody lost faith, and they didn't, you know, and they didn't let it snowball. If that game's 3 scores right there, you know, you can't come back from that. You know, you can't come back 17 points or, you know, whatever, 18 points in 3 minutes. But you can do it with 2, and they just kept pushing through and made a couple plays when it counted. Quarterbacks, there's a lot of stats that define quarterback. Everybody has their own little quarterback rating or total quarterback rating or completion percentage, all those things. And I think everybody knows the most important quarterback is winning.
As a defensive-minded guy, what's it like to game plan for a team that has Tim Tebow as quarterback as opposed to maybe a more traditional? Is it a fun challenge, more difficult? What's it like?
There's Tylenol the whole week, no matter who you're playing in the NFL. Everybody's a little bit different. You know, he's not the only mobile quarterback in the NFL. He's not the only guy that's willing to run. Every guy's face presents a little different challenge. You know, we prepared for Michael Vick last year. We had Josh Freeman, who's a really big, strong guy in our opener, who's not afraid to run. We've had Donovan McNabb, who's, you know, has always made plays with his feet. You know, so I think that each of those, in other words, this isn't the first time we've prepared for something like that. But that being said, Tebow's different than those guys. He's left-handed. You know, he doesn't just use him as a scrambler and running on pass plays. I mean, they call his number in the run game. In critical situations, two-point play, you know, call his number and he scores to tie the game up. So, you know, it spreads you thin because you have to account for an extra guy in the run game. And you have to guard against selling out too much against the run because he can make a play down the field like he did on that seam pass that set him up for the touchdown.
Why do you think there's such a divergent view of Tebow, the range of perceptions, and where do you fall from your perspective? What do you see from him?
Well, I think I'll keep my opinion to myself, and I mean, I don't coach him, so, you know, I really, you know, can't be critical of him. I don't know what he's been told on each of those plays and things like that, but I know that, you know, not every player, when they've come into the league, is a finished product. I mean, then there's been tons of them. Kurt Warner, you know, goes through. There's been millions. Rich Gannon, when he came in, was a probably a lot like Tim in that he was mobile and just somebody wanted to make him a running back, somebody wanted to make him a safety, you know, a few years later, he's a starting quarterback. I believe he won the MVP in 2002. You know, he leads his team to a Super Bowl and, you know, all those kind of things. So, you know, I think that, you know, regardless of who you are, everybody has a need to improve every single year to get to where they want to be. And from what I've seen from Tim Tebow, he coached against him in the Senior Bowl a couple of years. His first time we'll face him in the NFL. But, you know, he's a guy that wants to improve, has found a way to be competitive and found a way to win. And there's a lot of respect for that.
Coach, have you had any fun or humorous moments since the handshake incident? Maybe meeting people out at dinner or people just shaking your hand in general?
I try not to think too much about it. I mean, it seems like it was about 2 years ago right now. You know, I got back on track last week with Mike Smith, and I've had a lot of handshakes with John Fox over the years. I'm sure I'll keep my record or add to my record.